Alrighty, let's see. That's right. Hey, everybody, we are live. Hey, everybody, thank you guys for tuning in yet again. One more episode of our Pain Fighters podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in on the Reverend Lyle Lewis podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in on the YouTube Live Pain Fighters channel. And hey, if you're on one or the other, then hey, if you're on YouTube, go to the Pain Fighters podcast. It's Reverend Lyle. It's called Reverend Lyle Lewis. It's not called Pain Fighters podcast. It's called Reverend Lyle Lewis. And those of you that are on the Reverend Lyle Lewis podcast, go over to Lewtown Productions, where you'll drop through the playlist and you'll see Pain Fighters Live. All right. So either way, by all means, please give me some clicks, some likes, some subscribes, please. You know, so that then this way, the more you guys do that, the more that these companies, they feel as though that, you know, it's wanted. And it helps me to push it out more to more people so that then this way the word of God can spread out further. But other than that, hey, you guys already know who I am. I'm Reverend Lyle Lewis, a.k.a. Sean Lou. I am a minister at the Word Evangelistic Church, where the pastor is Prophet Willie C. Townsend. That's right. I am not the pastor. Again, I always have to make sure to clear that up. I don't know why, but just to make sure so that everybody knows that, you know, I'm not pretending to be something that I'm not. I'm not the pastor. Prophet Willie C. Townsend is the pastor of the Word Evangelistic Church, where the co-pastor is also Prophetess Denise Townsend. We're located in Chicago, Illinois. Please, by all means, come and check us out if you are in the Chicagoland area, or by all means, hop over to the Word Evangelistic Church YouTube channel. By all means, if you love what you hear from me, you're going to love what you hear from my pastor, because he's the one that taught me how to break the Word of God down. All right? So, without further ado, we are going to dive into our lesson on today, our topic of discussion, lesson, whatever it is that you want to call it, you know. Got to have a Bible, notes, and we are ready to go. Okay, so today we are talking about positively and negatively affected by salvation, because you see, we have it where a lot of times everyone is always looking for salvation just to be a positive thing. And a lot of times it's not. And this is the reason why we're going to break this down, because we're going to explore why salvation is not positively affecting people's lives as they believe that it should. There was a lot of times in my younger Christian days where, you know, it seemed like I was having negative effects, but, and I'm going to cover that in the lesson. You know, that was part of several different factors on my part that, you know what I'm saying, I didn't understand until I kept going in salvation. You got to understand, your salvation isn't going to pay off for you if you start and then stop, if you quit, if you walk away, if you back out of the deal. You know, there's nothing. I don't care what you're doing. There's no relationship. There's no job. There's nothing that will positively affect you if you walk away from it, or if you stop, or if you give up. Now, I've never stopped or given up in God. That's not what I'm saying. But there are different factors that cause people to do different things. And like I said, we're going to cover everything in this lesson. I'm going to break it down. And there, the way that these notes are going, there may be a part two to this, because there was a lot that the Lord was kind of dealing with me concerning, you know, all of these different things. But, go any further, I want you guys to make sure that you stay tuned to Lewtown Productions on YouTube television. Well, YouTube, the YouTube channel. And by all means, pretty soon we will have Lewtown Production TV up and running. Yeah, I told you, we're doing big things. If you have Roku, by all means, please go download the Lewtown Productions channel. So that then this way, when we start putting stuff up there, you'll be the first to know. And pretty soon we're going to be doing Two Black Eyes. We will be getting into our other show, Ephraim's Too Loud. I don't know when. It was supposed to be this summer, but yeah, things happen. Life happens. But, you know, that's just how it goes. But we'll get it all back up. But nonetheless, without further ado, back into the lesson. Just giving you some updates on what we're doing over here at the Lewtown Productions company. You know, making things happen, moving things forward, you know. Setbacks happen, but it's not about what you look at and focus on. It's about what you focus on, not necessarily what is. You know, we're not focusing on anything negative. We're focusing on all positive. So, again, without further ado, back into the lesson. So, positively and negatively affected by salvation, right? The lesson is taken from Revelations, the second chapter and the 10th verse. Let me get this. I should have already had this up. Let's see. Alrighty. Revelations 2 and 10, and it reads as thus. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, again, positively or negatively affected by salvation. Now, the reason why I chose that scripture is because you see that there is, you know, that serving God, you know, you are under some type of attack. Satan will come after you. Life will come after you. Your own mind will come after you. Your flesh will come after you. You have all these different things that will come after you. But like he said in the scripture, he said, you know, be faithful. Be faithful. And notice what he said. I don't know why I closed my Bible, but yeah, I got a bunch of other scriptures I got to go into. Like I said, I don't know why I closed my Bible and did this. But notice how God said that he'll be with you. You know what I'm saying? He will be with you until the end. He said that, he said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and shall be, and you shall have tribulation for 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. In other words, God's saying that if you are faithful to the end, you have a reward. All right. So the reason why people get so negatively affected by their salvation is because they wind up giving up. They wind up walking away. They wind up allowing things to distract them. And they don't believe that there's any reward or any benefit in constantly pursuing on. But you got to have it where you got to understand, if you don't maintain your salvation, and that's what the problem is. You got to where too many people are not maintaining their salvation. And that is a very, very, very vital, important step in your salvation to maintain it. See, God is not going to maintain your salvation. He's going to give you the instruction. He's going to give you the knowledge. He's going to give you the understanding and the wisdom for you to make things happen, to maintain your salvation, to keep it running, to keep it positively moving forward. Okay, it's not going to be that here it is that God's going to give you salvation and he's going to do all the work for you. That's not how it works. But unfortunately, you do have it where a lot of people think that that's how it's supposed to be. And unfortunately, they believe that that's the way it's supposed to be because they're not properly taught. God said, you know, he told you to choose. He said, he gave you the keys. He, you know, there's so many scriptures that, you know, I can bring out where God talked about how it's up to the individual. God told you to run the race. You know what I'm saying? And I say God, meaning just the Bible. The Bible says that you have to run the race. The Bible told you to endure to the end. The Bible said, you know what I'm saying? Let's see. I'm just trying to come up with several scriptures off the top of my head. It said, you know, told you to run that ye may obtain. It said, we are not of them that draw back, but of them that press forward. It said, you know, let's see. It said, the day you hear my voice. Notice how all of these scriptures are focused on you taking action in your salvation. You running the race. You maintaining. You doing. You showing faith. You. It's up to you. And that is the reason why a lot of people are so negatively affected by salvation. Some aren't being taught that it's up to them. They're not being taught that it's up to you. They're being taught that it's up to the pastor or up to the church or up to God or up to Jesus. Or, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's not the case. And then there's others that they are being taught properly, but the problem is they don't want to accept the teaching. They don't want to hear it. They want to be able to blame everybody else. They want it to be that if they stand before God and God says, hey, you were doing this and that, they can say, well, it was this person's fault and that person's fault and this person's fault and that person's fault. But if you notice how in the Bible, it tells us the soul that sinned, it shall die. Notice how the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. It's talking always to and about the individual. Even look at David when he sinned against God, when he slept with Bathsheba. You have it where he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned against you. He didn't blame Bathsheba. He didn't blame Uriah. He didn't blame the army. He didn't blame his wives. He didn't blame nobody. He said it was me. When the prophet Nathan came to him and said, hey, you know, this and that didn't happen, and there's been some unrighteousness that went down. When Nathan said, you're the man, David humbled himself and said, He went to God himself. Lord, it's me. You're right. It is me. Forgive me. You know what I'm saying? You have to go to salvation for God. You have to go to salvation. You have to go to God. I'm sorry. Go to God for your salvation. You have to go to God asking for forgiveness for things that you've done. You can't put it off on this person, that person, or the next individual. You always have to look at you. And that's part of one of the reasons why it is so hard for people to maintain their salvation. This is one of the other reasons why so many people are negatively affected by their salvation. Now, we're going to break it down. What do I mean by positively and negatively affected by salvation? Now, maintaining salvation will positively affect you, but you must follow the instructions of the Word of God. If you're not following the instructions of the Word of God, you're going to wind up going, you know, get, as the Bible said, you wind up being shipwrecked. Look at anybody who doesn't know how to get somewhere, right? And you go to somebody who knows how to get there and you say, I need instructions of how to get there or how to do this. Notice, if you don't follow the instructions, you won't get to your destination. Notice, if you're trying to fix something and you need instructions on how to fix it, you go get the instructions. You don't follow the instructions, you're not going to fix whatever it is that you're working on properly. You're not going to get the desired results that you need and that you want. Why? Instructions were put there for a reason. Instructions were put there for the proper purpose of being able to instruct you, to help you, to guide you, to lead you down the right way to go, so that then this way you can get the most success out of whatever it is that you're trying to do. Okay? It's the same way with the Word of God. Your salvation is maintained through the instruction of the teaching of the Word of God. It's not maintained through anything else. Okay? It's the, forget the holidays, forget the religious this and that, that and this. No, it's maintained through the Word of God, through the instruction, through the teaching of the Word of God. The Bible said, God said, I put my word above all my name. So therefore, that shows you just how important the Word of God is in maintaining your salvation. He puts it above prayer. He puts it above faith. He puts it above, because you got to understand, like the Bible says, without faith, no man can please the Lord. But the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So therefore, no matter what you do, when you pray, what are you praying? You're praying, you're making your request made known unto God, but you're making your request made known unto God according to the promises that he gave you in the Word of God. Everything goes back to the Word of God. And this is the reason why salvation negatively affects people, because they will not follow the proper instructions that the Lord has laid out for them. They want to do things their way, all right? It's important to maintain your salvation so that it doesn't work against you. Therefore, you have to follow the instructions, because it's the only way to maintain your salvation. It's the only way to keep things going the way that God instructed you to do them. Everybody has, not everybody, but you got a lot of people, they have a lot of bad hardships in life when they get saved. And then the first thing they want to do is blame God. They want to blame the church. They want to blame the pastor. They want to blame this person, that person, and this person. It's none of them. It's something you did. Why do I say that? Because in the process of you living your life, you made those decisions. Now, mind you, and we're going to get off into those, because it's a bunch of other things that I need to cover, which I'm going to cover so much. Just keep listening. But mind you, there are times where you may get bad advice or this and that and that and this. But again, this is also the reason why the Bible told you study to show yourself approved. Mind you, it wasn't just, mind you, when the Bible said that, I get it. You know, Paul was talking to Timothy, meaning, you know, you should study, you know, so that then this way you're always ready to teach. You're always this and that, that and this. But even in the book of Acts, it tells us how the early church, they went home after hearing the apostles preach. They went home and studied the scriptures for themselves. So it lets me know that the individual themselves should always study, so that then this way you will know what is and what is not. If something isn't right or if something is right. You know, not just from somebody telling you, do this and do that. By all means, I'll give you the scriptures. I'll tell you to read the Bible for yourself. You come tell me if I'm telling you something wrong. I'm not going to tell you nothing wrong. Don't go by your own mind, though. Don't go by your own feelings. Don't go by your understanding. Go by what the Word of God said. You got to where a lot of people will tell you, oh, well, I don't believe that you should have said that. Well, if the Bible says that and you swear up and down that you read your Bible, you claim and promise and all this up and down, oh, I do read my Bible and I'm coming out of the Bible, where am I going wrong? If this is what the Bible is telling you. This is the reason why it's important to stick to the Word of God. So many people want to stick with the Word of God and then mix what they think or how they feel or their perspective or their philosophies. You can't do that. You wind up going off on your own. notice if you go and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this. Well, I could take this shortcut. If you don't know the way, don't take shortcuts. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You know what I'm saying? You get where somebody who's traveled from, I'm just saying, let's just say somebody who's traveled from here to Kentucky, you know, several times, you know, yeah, they're like, okay, hey, look, we can take this route. And, you know, if we want to see the scenery, we can take this way. If we want to get there fast, we take this way. If we want the best express route, we take this way. They know all the different ways to take that will land them where they need to go. Why? They know the way inside and out. It's the same way with the Word of God. The Word of God knows the way that an individual that is saved should go. The Lord has instilled in the spiritual leader that he sets you under which way you should go. And again, that's providing you have a spiritual leader that is tied in with God. All right. Not all spiritual leaders are tied in with God. I will never stop saying that. That is a horse that I will continue to whip until it's dead. All right. So let's go into it. How does it work against you? Well, one, guilt from committing sin and letting God down. All right. This is how your salvation works against you, because of guilt. Number two, hardships in life. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Now, I don't mean hardships as far as trials and tribulations. I mean like things that you bring on yourself. Things that you know that you should not have done, or that you should have done and you didn't, or did contrary to what the Word of God told you you should do or not do. You wind up bringing hardships on yourself, and then these things come on you, and now you want to look at it like, well, where is God? Well, the Bible said, if you do wrong, says suffer patiently. You brought this on yourself. God will bring you out, but it ain't going to be too fast that he brings you out. God will help you through it. He'll give you instructions and knowledge and wisdom and understanding about how to. But at the same time, you brought that on yourself because you didn't follow the proper instruction that God told you to follow. If you'd have followed the instructions and stayed on the right path, you would not have wound up in hardships in life. All right. Let's see. Mind demons and a reprobate mind. Now, the reason why I put these two together is because one can lead to the other. And not only can one lead to the other, but they are both sort of the cause. Like, okay, demons in the mind. Demons can attack the mind, right? But again, it's up to what you accept. All right. But when demons attack the mind, the demons aren't just attacking you just to sit there. They're attacking the mind to influence you and push you in a certain direction. Now, you get pushed in that certain direction and you keep constantly living in this, despite the Word of God coming to you, telling you, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. Then next thing you know, God winds up giving you over and letting you do what you want to do. Now, in the process of that happening, again, that's where the reprobate mind comes in. Now, here it is. God basically just said, hey, let them do what they want to do. I'm going to judge them in the last days, but let them be as they are. All right. This is one of the other ways that your salvation could negatively affect you. All right. Now, another way. Now, mind you, as I'm reading these are all things. And it's kind of like one leads into the other, which leads into the other. All right. Now, from there, you get no protection from God. What do I mean? Meaning when you go through hardships in life and things like that, because you're not following the instructions, you allow demons to influence you more than the Word of God. God probably gave you over to a reprobate mind. Now, here it is. You don't have the protection of God. God is letting you do your thing. All right. You decided to go your way. Notice when you step outside of someone's protection, prime example, look at how it was in the days of Joshua, how when he sent the spies out to spy out the land, you had the harlot Rahab. She was like, hey, look, now that I've done this kind service unto you, make sure that my house, make sure my father's, my family is taken care of. What did they say? They told her, that's fine. Everyone who's in this house will not be touched. Any of your family that's outside of this house, the blood is on them. They gave her instruction and she followed the instruction and she saved her family. Follow the instructions. Look at Lot. Lot had to go through and follow the instructions of getting out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He got out. He was told, leave, don't turn around. His wife turned around. She didn't follow the instructions. Look at how that wound up for her. But Lot and his two daughters, they escaped. You got to follow the instructions. But this is what happens. When God, you don't have the protection from God when you step out of the realm of God. When you step out of the protection, the will, the knowledge, and all these. When you step away from God, there's no protection there. If God gives you over, There's no protection there. And this all starts, why? Mainly because you died, you decided to commit sin. You decided to go against the word of God. You decided not to follow the instructions. You decided not to maintain your salvation. Things along those lines. And then you get no protection from God, and there's death in hell. Meaning God forgot about you, and now you're rotting in hell when you die. And God spent all of that time while you were on earth crying and telling you and trying to reach out to you, and you ignored him. So now, for the 10, 15, 20, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, or God knows how long, he was trying to reach you and you ignored him. Now you die and go to hell. And God is, now the Bible said, when I cried, you didn't listen. Therefore, when you cry, I won't listen. So now you, God cried for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. You're going to be crying for the rest of eternity. And it's either that God's not going to hear you, or he's going to be laughing at you, one or the other, because he says, well, he said, you cry, I won't hear. But then he also says, in the day of your calamity, I shall laugh. So, yeah, that's, yeah. Does that sound like a fair trade? A couple of years of you not doing, they'll have it be where you got an eternity where God is just basically ignoring you and laughing at you because you did the same to God while you were, it's not worth it. Eternity is too long. That's what my pastor always says. He says eternity is too long and hell is too hot. And I wholeheartedly agree. Now, if we're walking away from God, this will cause your salvation to negatively affect you. Why? Because you got to understand, like the Bible says, the way of the transgressor is hard. What is transgression? Transgression is when an individual gets saved and then turns back and then goes back off into sin and things like that. It calls it a transgressor. You're somebody who goes back into sin. You go and now here it is, you have walked away from God. So therefore, you know what God has instructed you to do. See, this will negatively affect you in many different ways. One, because you're going to have it where God is going to constantly always be trying to rebuke you and trying to get on your case about trying to get back in line. He's not going to force you to do anything, all right? God's not going to force you. Don't get me wrong. There are those who he has tried to reach in many different ways, be it through disease, be it through some kind of tragedy or whatever the case may be. But that's not everybody. Okay, God's not going to try. There are those that he really is trying to, hey, look, you know, he has to steer them back to him. But mind you, that's not, again, like I said, that's not for everybody. Those are certain cases that, you know, the Lord has something set up for them in life that he, you know, has them to do. He needs them to come back and he's going to find a way to get their attention. But there's a lot of people who stayed away from God and they never came back. They strayed away from God and died in their sins. They strayed away from God, and then in the process of them straying away from God, well, it's given over to a reprobate mind. But all of those people who wind up straying away from God, somehow their salvation is now negatively affecting them. Why? Well, number one, they don't have salvation. They don't have it. And the reason why, and I know the question that you're asking, if they don't have it, why would you say that their salvation is negatively affecting them? Because while you do not have the salvation anymore, salvation has been written in the book in your life. All right, you got to remember, God has several books. He said he's going to judge you from the books. He has the Word of God, the Book of Life, and the Book of Deeds. There is salvation somewhere that you did decide, hey, look, I'm going to go ahead and turn to God and give my life. That's been recorded in the Book of Deeds. That's been recorded. So therefore, you've got the salvation moniker, you've got the salvation title, now you need the salvation works, but you don't have the salvation works, so therefore, now you got salvation, but everything, all your works, now you got it at a certain point, all of your works are going contrary to what the salvation title is supposed to be, what you were supposed to uphold within that salvation title. Okay, this is why, and that's why I say your salvation winds up working against you, because again, God doesn't forget that you decided that you wanted to be saved at one point in time. God's not going to forget. You may try to forget. People out there may forget that you were ever saved. God doesn't forget. And nor do you. This is the reason why I said guilt. Because you get to where a lot of times folks walk away from God and then it causes a lot of guilt. And we're going to get to that in the lesson. Like I said, I break it down very... The Lord had gave me a lot of notes on this lesson. So we're going to break it down very well. But, you know, you have it where, you know what I'm saying, even though you walked away and it's negatively affecting you, you got to understand this is your fault because you walked away. This is your fault because you didn't follow the instructions. And this is the reason why a lot of people's salvation negatively affects them, because of the simple fact when the word of God brings the individual into, you know, brings the individual to himself, to look at himself, they don't want to accept it. Man doesn't want to fight against himself. Man does not want to look at himself and say, I'm the man, I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying? This is my fault. Man wants to always say it's on them. No, I'm this way because my wife or my husband, my kids, the church, you know what I'm saying? My job, my boss, my landlord, the bank. It's always somebody else. Always. Man always wants to be able to point the finger at somebody else and say, it's not my fault, it's theirs. But see, that's not going to get you anywhere. See, if you want to be positively affected in your salvation, number one, you have to deal with you. You are your greatest opponent. Not your neighbor. Not man. Not even Satan. You are. Because at the end of the day, you make the final decision of what and what you're going to do, who you're going to listen to, and how you're going to live. You do. Not Satan. Not God. Not other people. You have control of you. You are the individual that God is going to look at. You are the one that God, because when you stand before judgment, God's not going to look at it. Well, this person made you do this. No. God's going to look at it. You decided to do this. You made the choice to do this. Why would you go and do this? Notice, prime example. Look at Adam and Eve, right? When God came down, he said, why did you eat the apple? Adam tried to blame Eve. Eve tried to blame the snake. But notice how all of them still got punished. If them casting the blame onto the next person would have worked, then you would have had it at the very least. Adam probably might have been spared, because he was the one that said, no, I did it because of the woman you gave me. Somebody would have probably got spared. But because God was like, no, it's up to the individual. Adam, you decided that you wanted to stay with the one that you love, the flesh of your flesh and bones of your bone. Eve, you decided to go against what I told you to do, and you decided to eat the apple. Despite the fact that I told you not to eat it, you did it anyways. Either way, you both still made the decision to do something I told you not to do. And that's the reason why they got put out of the garden. Because at the end of the day, it was still their decision. Okay? Now, it's normally, not normally, but it is the individual's fault, because they normally went somehow, some way, contrary to the word of God. If you walk away from the word of God, you've walked away from God. If you walk away from the instruction, from the teaching, you've walked away from God. You got to where a lot of people feel as though just because they walked away, oh, I walked away from church, but I didn't walk away from God. Well, if the word of God was in that church, you walked away from God. Now, it's different. All due respect, it's different if you walked away from a church that's not teaching you anything. You walked away from a corrupt church or something along those lines. Fine. You walked away, you know what I'm saying? And then, yeah, you just walked away from the church. But if the word of God is being preached in that church, that man of God has no bad reputation with you or with God or anything like that. He's living the example of the word of God that he's teaching. There's a reason why I say it's very important to get under a teacher that's connected with God, because they're going to lead the flock of God in the right way. If you truly have a good pastor and you walk away from that, then you've walked away from the word of God, because that is what that pastor is going to do. He's teaching you and instructing you the ways of God through and by the word of God. But here it is, you walked away from that. So a lot of people, they try to say, I walked away from the church, I didn't walk away from God. Well, you can't break the scriptures down on your own. You got to have somebody else break them down for you. You don't have an understanding of the word of God, because if you did, you wouldn't have left the word of God. You don't understand, the word of God is being preached here. I need to listen to the word of God. Forget my feelings. Forget how I think. Forget what I want. Forget what I don't want. If this is what the word of God is telling me to do, I got to be obedient to it. And I'm not going to leave, because number one, you would hold your salvation to a point where you understand playing games of jumping from church to church to church is very dangerous. Why do I say that? Because look, you might leave this church and might. But when I say might, I mean it's like a 1 in a million, 1 in a billion chance that you're going to leave the truth and go find another church that's teaching the truth. Satan's not going to allow that. If you've got the truth here, stay there. Listen to what the word of God says. If you are going to leave, then it's because let the Lord lead you somewhere else. You got to where a lot of people just jump and say, oh, I'm just going to leave. I'm going to find. And then next thing you know, you never see them in church again. You never see that they've gotten back in God. And if they do get back in God, their spirit is never right. They're never really, it's always something that's off about them. Why? Because somehow, so they didn't went through life. It didn't hurt them. It didn't affect them. It didn't injure them in some kind of way. Again, ways that their salvation can negatively affect you. And notice how all of these ways in which the salvation can negatively affect you are all on the individual. God's not going to put you in something that's going to negatively affect you. Man will put himself in a predicament that's going to negatively affect him. Adam and Eve, Samson, Solomon, David, the children of Israel. Ananias and Sapphira, you got all these different examples in the Bible of individuals who put themselves. You never seen God put them in a bad predicament. Children of Israel tried to blame God when they went up. Look at with Joseph, right? Look at with Joshua. When they went to go fight the giants, look at how it was with Moses. When they went to go fight the army and they got beat. They said when Moses said that when the spies came to Moses and said, yeah, the land is good, but there's giants. We can't overtake them. Moses said, you guys sinned against God. The Lord's not going to be with you. And then when they realized they messed up, they said, we are going to go and take the land. Moses said, the Lord's not with you. I suggest you don't go. They went and they got killed. Look at how it was with Joshua. When Joshua gave the instructions from God saying, hey, go in, destroy the people, touch none of the Babylonian garments or any of their stuff, bring the stuff out for the sacrifice, but that's it. Bring the sacrifice, bring the animals for sacrifice, but any of their objects, don't touch their garments, don't touch the gold, don't touch the silver, all of it is accursed. Achan went and touched the accursed thing, brought it back, and then when they went out again to go fight against their enemies, they got beat. Joshua was like, what happened? Lord, you said you were with us. What did God tell him? Get up, there's sin in the camp. Somebody went contrary to what I told them to do. That's why you don't have success, because I pulled back from you. Now you got to go and figure out who it was and get it rectified so that I can come back, rectify myself back with you, and we can go and do what I told you I was going to do for you. Do you see how it's all on the individual? God will set you up for success every time, but you have to follow God. You got to follow the instructions. You got to follow the way that God has set for you through and by the word of God, not your own mind, not your own feelings, not the way you think, not what other people say, what the word of God says. All right. Now we're going to keep going. Now, here are several things which can cause your salvation to work against you. Number one, wrong teaching will cause your salvation to negatively affect you, okay? Now, it'll do this by deceiving you. And it'll do it because here's the thing, okay? By not teaching you and telling you the fullest of what God would have for you to do, then like I've said in several other messages, if you don't know the fullest of God, then how can you fully serve God? How can you give God a full service if you don't have full teaching? All right. It will negatively affect you because you're not being taught, and you're not being taught to the fullest as God intended. God's not going to leave out bits and pieces and parts and so forth and so forth. When God teaches you something, he's going to teach you the fullness of it. He's going to teach you about sin. He's going to teach you what causes you to go into sin. And he's going to teach you, most importantly, how to come out of sin, so that then this way you will know what to look for. You can either stay out of sin, come out of sin, and then make sure to keep yourself out of sin. This is the reason why I say maintaining your salvation is very important. See, a lot of people get saved, but they don't maintain their salvation. That's one of the main ways that your salvation negatively affects you, because you didn't maintain it. Those who maintain their salvation, and what I mean to maintain, you mean you follow the word of God. You're constantly praying. You're constantly studying. You're meditating on God. You make sure that if the Lord tells you to do something, you don't mix nothing of you in it. You just be obedient to what God told you to do, and you move in that direction. Those are the individuals who have great success. Those are the individuals who move on to do great things. The individuals who show faith. They don't draw back on God, but rather instead, they push forward despite the fact that they're not seeing the way. Those are the individuals who have. But notice, they stick with the instruction of what they've been taught. Notice that was one key thing that I said that they do. They follow the word of God. They do what God would have for them to do, and they don't err from it. They don't step away from it. If they do mess up, if they do make a mistake, they let the word of God correct them. They repent, get out of it, or start doing it. Either start doing what God said that they weren't doing, or they stop doing what God said that they were doing, and then they move on from there, and they leave whatever it is, whatever sin, they leave it alone. Those are the ones that have good success. But people who are not properly taught, you can't have good success. This is the reason, again, I bring this point out again. You're going to hear me bring this point out so many times. It's important to get in a good church where God is the head of that church. God is not the head of all these churches. Make sure you get, I'm in a good church. That's the reason why I'm telling you to do it. I can't tell you to do it if I'm not. I tell you about my pastor because I'm in a good church where the word of God is going forth, where the pastor is teaching under the anointing and he's connected to God, where he's living what he's being taught. I'm doing the same thing. I'm living what I'm being taught, following the word of God, not giving up on God. Man, things have gone wrong in my life. I've had to endure different things, man. Life wasn't always peachy keen for me, but nonetheless, I stuck with what I was instructed to do, followed it, and came out on top every time. Coming out on top does not necessarily, is not always what we think is ideal. But coming out on top is what, as long, hey, look, as long as the Lord brought me out, I came out on top. That's the way I look at it. There's a lot of things I went through. Mind demons, sickness, death, all kinds of different things, and came out on top. These are things that most people, they go through and they get depressed. They get hurt. They can't bounce back. It messes with their mind. It messes up their marriages. It messes up. No, I got everything. I've kept everything in order. I kept it all through and by the instruction of the word of God, through and by following what God told me to do. So therefore, I'm not telling you to do something that I'm not doing. I'm giving you the instructions because these are the things. This message that I'm giving you, I'm giving you not just because God gave me the notes and said, hey, look, I want you to tell the people this, but also because these are things that I have also gone through in my life. These are things that I have witnessed and experienced from others and in my own life. So therefore, I'm not only like my pastor always says, I'm not just a preacher. I'm also a client. I've been through this stuff. I can tell you this stuff, not only through the anointing of the word of God, but through my own life experience. I've seen people get wrong teaching, which goes into the next thing. Listening to people who aren't saved rather than the word of God. They get wrong teaching from some other pastor. They're listening to our pastor and listening to somebody else. Bible says you can't serve two masters. You can't eat off two tables. You want to know why? Look at children. Look at children, okay? If you set dessert and dinner in front of a kid at the same time, most children will eat dessert first. Most children will eat dessert first, and they won't too much touch their dinner. Why? That's what they like more than, right? If you know your child loves chocolate cake, and you set a chocolate cake in front of them, and then you set a doggone, you set, I don't know, what's something, that, you know what I'm saying? You set a plate of vegetables in front of kids. You give them a plate of vegetables, and then you give them chocolate cake, and you say, all right, time to eat. 9 times out of 10, they're going to start eating that chocolate cake. Now they start eating the chocolate cake. What do we tell them? No, eat your dinner first. They're going to gravitate to what they like more. It's the same way spiritually. This is the reason why you should not eat off. You shouldn't be eating off two tables. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. Only one of them you're going to love. The other one you're going to despise. Who do you think you're going to wind up loving more when you serve two masters? You sure as hell ain't going to love God more. I'll tell you that right now. You want to know why I know you won't love God more? Because Satan is going to allow you to do and tell you to do what you want to do. He's going to say, hey, look, if this is how you like it, go after that. God's going to be telling you, no, don't do that. Prime example. Look at how it was for those of us that grew up with a mother and a father in the house. Notice how it was that if mom and dad were like, one parent was like, you can go, and the other parent was like, you can't go, if we wanted to go, which parent did we say? Which parent did we listen to? And then when the other parent came and said, didn't I tell you not to go? What do we say? But mom said I can go. But dad said I can go. If your mom says you can't have cookies and your dad said, yeah, go get you a cookie, and your mom comes in the kitchen, she sees you got your hand in the cookie jar, didn't I tell you you can't have any cookies? What are you going to say? Dad said I can. It's the same way spiritually. You're going to wind up doing what you want to do. If you want to commit sin, you're going to go with that. Because here's the thing. If you didn't want to commit sin, you won't be eating off the other table. This is another way that folks wind up getting negatively affected in their salvation, eating off two tables. And that comes from wrong teaching and listening to people who aren't saved. Why shouldn't you listen to people who aren't saved? How can they tell you the right way if they don't know the right way, right? See, here's the thing. People with wrong teaching, people who are telling you stuff, be it that they're in church or be it they're not in church, if they're going the wrong way, how can they tell you the right way when they're not going the right way? How can they tell you what you should do that's pleasing unto God when they're not pleasing unto God? But see, here's what we look at. We look at how things are going for them in life. Things are you know, hey, they you know what I'm saying? I'm just, whatever it is that catches your interest. They got money, they got houses, they got cars, you know, they got good success in life. You know, they don't have too many problems. You don't know what they have. You really honestly don't know what they have. So when they go telling you, hey, don't do this or don't do that, and it goes against the word of God, I would suggest, and even if they, hey, I'm gonna tell you right now, even if they don't have problems in life, even if, let's just say, best case scenario, they are living a fantastic life, but they don't have God. And they're telling you, look at me, this and that, that and this. I would suggest that you don't listen to them still, regardless of what they have and what they don't have, regardless of how good their life is. If they don't have God, I would suggest you don't listen to them. You stick with what God told you to do. Because just because they have good success, that doesn't mean that you will have good success. Just because things are working out for them in life, that does not guarantee that things are going to work out for you in life. They don't know the right way to go. You do. They may not have the knowledge. Who knows? They might not. You do. And that is what's going to stand against you when you go stand before God in judgment. The fact that you have the knowledge and you didn't do it. The Bible says he who knows to do good and doesn't is beaten with many stripes. In other words, you have the knowledge, so therefore you're going to be punished more severely than the individual that doesn't. So it's better for a man to never have known the ways of God than to know and have turned. Again, dealing with the individual. If you know the way of God and you turn away from God, you've done something very horrible. Because now here it is, you are going to stand before God according to what the knowledge, all the knowledge that God has given you. I don't care if it's in a short period of time or a long period of time. I don't care if you got your knowledge over the course of a couple of days, one day, a couple of hours, or if you got it over the course of several decades. It doesn't matter. You have the knowledge. Once you come into the knowledge, you will be held accountable for that. Prime example, those of us that have kids, when we tell our child what to do and what not to do, and they go opposite of what we said, we punish them, right? When we were kids and we were instructed the right way to go and we didn't do what we were told to do, we got punished, right? And what was the main thing to say? What did I tell you? So you knew the right way to go. That's what our parents, my parents, all of my friends' parents, they said that whenever we messed up, that was the first thing they said. Okay, what did I tell you to do? What did your teacher tell you to do? What did this person, or what did your auntie, your uncle, your dad, your grandmother, what did they tell you to do? So since they told you what to do and you didn't do it, what do you think? Since you knew the right way to go and you didn't do it, what do you think I should do now? You think you deserve the punishment, right? Yeah. I don't care how much we try to say, but, they pointed at you. And that's how God is going to look at it. You get in the wrong teaching, the moment you realize you're getting the wrong teaching, which is the reason why you should be studying and things of that nature on your own. The moment you realize you're getting the wrong teaching, you need to leave and go get the right teaching. so that the Lord can lead you and instruct you and guide you how to make things better for your life, so that then this way you can get back on in the right track with God. Don't listen to other people, especially people who are not saved and going against the word of God, so that then this way you don't get confused. See, that's what happens. People's salvation negatively affects them because they wind up confused in some kind of way. And then when they wind up confused, how can you serve God in a confused state? You can't. You can't. You're unbalanced. And the Bible says an unbalanced waiting is abomination unto him. You're eating from two tables. That's unbalanced. Because you're not going to pick up a cupcake from this table and then pick up a cupcake from that table and then pick up a steak from this table and pick up a steak from that table. No, you're going to eat maybe one thing from this, three things from there. Come back, maybe get something to drink from this table. Go back to that table and eat some. You get what I'm saying? You're not. Look at a buffet. You go to a buffet, you know what I'm saying? You go to the, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it is that you like to eat, you know what I'm saying? You go, notice, okay, you go to a buffet and you load up on doggone French fries and macaroni on one plate, get a steak on this plate, and then get a couple of vegetables, you know what I'm saying? Like, but what did you get? You got mostly what you like. Hey, if you like steak, you got two steaks on this plate and a couple of vegetables. If you like vegetables, you got a whole big bowl of vegetables. You get what I'm saying? You're not going to get an even portion of everything and then bring it and be like, oh, okay, everything's balanced out. No, you're going to eat what you, and then that's the same way it is in God. You're going to do, especially when you got the wrong teaching or people instructing you that aren't saved or don't know the way, you're going to wind up going, getting unbalanced. You're going to wind up doing things, doing more of things that God told you not to do. And then it's going to wind up negatively affecting you. Then you're going to be turning around trying to look at, God, how did you let this happen? It wasn't God. That wasn't God. That's the problem. A lot of people, these things, they wind up going astray and then they want to blame God. They want to say, Lord, how could you let this happen? If God is giving you instructions, he didn't let this happen. You did. You dropped your guard. You listened to other people. You were double dipping in different churches. You were listening to this pastor and that pastor and then your mom and your dad, your brother and your sister. Now, you got to listen to one person, and that's God. Bottom line. You got your own way of doing things. Now, see, a lot of people, they want to, they may not be getting teaching from all over. But when the word of God goes forth, they feel as though, why should I do it that way? This way makes more sense. And then they wind up doing things their own way, and then things don't work out for them. And then next thing you know, somehow it winds up negatively affecting them. Then you got it where people, they do things according to their own mind. What does that mean? Meaning that the word of God goes forth, and then they wind up just like, well, I think, I believe, and then next thing you know, they wind up doing things contrary to the word of God. And then when they do these things with having their own way of doing things or having their own mind, things wind up going bad for them. And again, they turn to God. They don't turn to themselves and say, it was me, I should have followed what God told me to do. No, they turn to God. How could you let this happen? They turn to the church. Why did y'all let this happen to me? Wait a minute. It's up to you. Your salvation is up to you. You have to maintain your salvation. It's negatively affecting you because you didn't follow the instructions, because you decided to go that way. You decided to do something that the word of God didn't tell you to do. And then the final thing is lack of knowledge. You got to wear a lot of times, which is just like the same thing with, you know, when you're under the wrong teaching, you're not getting the proper knowledge. But again, if you're studying and seeking God for yourself, not just reading the Bible, you got a lot of people out there just reading. They'll crack it if they're opening the Bible at all, like they claim that they do. They'll read, and, okay, and then they move on. But what are they applying? When you read this Bible, you got to study it. You got to take time. Put time into this. Draw out the nuggets of wisdom of what God is having you, what he's trying to reach you. You got to have it be where you also have a reference of something, the Spirit of God, somewhere where you can reference what you've been taught, what you've been studying. You have to get tied into the Spirit of God. So that then this way you can be led properly. Being led properly gives you positive success in your salvation. Doing what God told you to do in the Word of God will always lead you down a positive road. Don't get me wrong. Things will go wrong. Things will go haywire. You know, somehow, some way, life will throw a monkey wrench in all the plans. Yes, but even in the process of all that chaos, God is still right there in the midst with you, helping you to work things out, making sure that things that you can't control, He's got your back. Instructing you and guiding you on the things you can control so that then this way you make the right decisions that lead you into a successful way. He's got your back. But see, when you're not doing things the way God tells you to do, then you're on your own. That's why the Bible tells us the way of the transgressor is hard. They didn't step out of the will of God. So now they got to figure out how to do it. Then look at an individual. Look at kids who get kicked out of their home. Now they got to try to figure out things in life on their own, right? You get kicked out at the age of 16, 17, whatever, and then now you got to go out there and you got to figure out how to get a place to stay. You got to figure out how to pay your own rent. You got to figure out bills. You got to go to work every day. You have to, you know what I'm saying? Now life then got hard. You don't have mom and dad there to help instruct you, guide you, lead you, because now here it is, they didn't put you away from them. Or you walk out and you say, I'm going to do my own thing, and they let you. And now here it is, you got to figure out and you realize life is hard. Life is not all, as a child, you're just like, well, it should just be like this. You should just do this. And then you get out there and you come to realize, wow, it's not as cut and dry as I thought that it was. I didn't realize that this is how the bills went. I didn't realize that this is what they had to deal with to keep a roof over our heads. I didn't realize that going to work every day was such, they learn on their own. And it's the same way with you. You step out of the will of God, you really start to learn on your own how it is that serving God really does pay off. Sure, things may be okay at first, but then things start going bad. And when they do, you have no help because nobody can deliver you from the hands of God. God said, I am He that openeth and no man shutteth. I am Him that shutteth and no man openeth. So therefore, there's no one who can fight against the hand of God in your life. So let's see. I say it all the time. In some cases, when you get saved, things will get harder. And why is it that I say that in a lot of cases, when you get saved, things will get harder? It's because you're being brought into the knowledge of yourself. Now, even the Bible says, now we're going to go into Romans 7:7. All right. And this is the scripture that's going to help me bring this part out. You know, a lot of times we get saved and things do get a lot harder for us. And it's because we're brought into the knowledge of ourselves. We're brought into the knowledge of sin. We're brought into the knowledge of good and evil, right and wrong. You know, we have a basic knowledge when we grow up from, you know, whatever parenting we got. But when you're in God, when you're, you know, being brought into the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God, you're being brought into a whole nother level of all these different factors. Now you're being brought into the knowledge of yourself as an individual and how life, Satan, demons, your mind, people will work against you to cause you to do things against the Word of God. Now it says in Romans 7:7, it says, what shall I say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now see, what happens is when we get brought into knowledge of the Word of God, we come into the knowledge of different things that we should and should not be doing. This is the reason why I say a lot of times you get saved. In some cases, it does wind up getting harder. Why? Because now that you've been brought into the knowledge of something, you have more to fight. Before, when you didn't have the knowledge, you didn't have to fight because you didn't know you were supposed to fight. You just did it. If you know, it's like, okay, look at kids, right? Children do what they want to do. They don't fight themselves. They don't, because they don't know what they're supposed to. They don't know. They just go and they just do what they feel is right. Now, the more we tell them, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. You got to tell some kids several times, don't do this. I told you, how many times I got to tell you, don't do this? Why? Because now that they're being brought into the knowledge of it, they don't understand it. Children don't understand they got to fight themselves. So you got to constantly repeat yourself and beat this into them. And I don't mean beat it into them like physically. Some kids you probably might have to, but that's another topic for another day. But you do have it where, you know, some kids may get it right off the bat. You tell a kid don't pee in the bed, he doesn't pee in the bed for the rest of his life. You tell other kids don't pee in the bed, and every night you got to go clean in the sheets. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand that they have to fight themselves. But as this is the same way it is with us. This is the reason where the term babes in Christ kind of came from. Because of the simple fact, it's more or less like, okay, at first, in the beginning of your salvation, there's a lot of things you're going to have to fight that you may wind up falling to. You know what I'm saying? For instance, you were somebody who you had foul language before you got saved. Now you get saved, and now you have to break out of that bad pattern and habit of using foul language. You got to break out of that habit of smoking, drinking. You got to break out of fornication and adultery and things of that nature. Okay, you're considered a babe in Christ. Now, mind you, this is not to give permission and occasion to sin. But again, this is kind of where the term came from, under the fact of looking at it like, hey, look, as babes, that's when we make our mistakes. That's when we're constantly, you know, slipping and falling, just like a child that's learning to walk. They're going to get up and fall several times before they're ever able to stay on their feet in a stable way. There's not a baby in this world that got up on their first try and walked from the couch to the doggone chair, or walked from mom to the wall, or wherever it is that they walk to or from, and then and from that day forth, never tripped, never fell, never. No, they got up. It was always walk, take some steps, fall over, take some steps, thump their noggin, take their step, fall in their behind, trip over something. And that's the reason why. You know what I'm saying? Yes, you will, you know, in the beginning of your salvation, there may be things that you struggle and fall over and things like that. But as you get more profound in your salvation, as you learn more about you and how to fight you, learn more about you and what you should and should not do, learn more about you and the way that you should go. As you learn more about these things, then you start to perfect. You start to grow. You start to learn ways to stabilize yourself. You get a better understanding of what the Word of God is trying to tell you. So therefore, it makes it easier for you to fight. It makes it easier for you to maintain. It makes it easier for you to be obedient. But that's providing you're following the instructions. See, when you're being instructed of you, when you're being brought into the knowledge of you, and you don't follow the instructions, then you allow yourself to do things. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, for instance, you got to wear a lot of times, especially children, right? Especially children. But even us as adults, we'll start doing something and we'll do it wrong. And be doing things wrong until somebody comes and says, hey, that's not how you do it. You know what I'm saying? Prime example. You give a little kid a screwdriver, right? Give a little kid a screwdriver. You know what they're going to do? They're going to think it's a sword. They're going to think it's a knife. Right? They're going to think that it's a stick. They're going to think that it's something that you hit people with, stab people with. That's what they're going to think, because that's what registers in their mind. Until they see somebody come up and show them, or they see somebody using it in the way it's supposed to be used. Now they get the instructions of what it's supposed to be used for. And then you'll see the kid, they see what it's used for, what it's supposed to be used for. You'll see them do the same thing. It's the same way with us. We might have started off in life not knowing a lot of different things about sin and all these other kinds of things. So we were just doing it. We were just living life. But then we come into salvation and the Word of God tells us what is right and what is wrong. Now, here it is. We have to pattern ourselves likewise after what we've been taught. I'm going to go ahead and end it right there. Now, we are ending it and we have just dove into Romans. I got a bunch more notes that I got to get to. But, you know, we're going to go ahead and end it here just for right now. And I'm going to bring you a part two come next week. Or hell, you never know. Maybe even at the end of this week. You never know. Just stay tuned and keep listening. So, we're doing this lesson. What is it? Positively and negatively affected by salvation. So I guess this is positively and negatively affected by salvation, part one. So, we're going to get into a part two where we're going to dive into the scriptures and we're going to go really heavy into what God is trying to tell us in this message. So by all means, please keep listening to me. Click like and subscribe. Keep liking the podcast. And please, by all means, pop over to Word Evangelistic Church on YouTube, Word Evangelistic Church. Go listen to what Prophet Townsend has to say. I assure you, you will not regret being taught by my pastor, all right? But again, if for whatever reason you can't get over there, stay tuned to me. I will give you nothing but the truth, the whole truth. Wait, what is it? The whole truth and nothing. You know what I'm trying to say, dagnabbit. All right? So in the meantime, be safe, stay safe, God bless. I'm gonna learn to fade to black.